Good morning. Let's stand and join in singing the chorus in moments like these. Standing, please.
Good morning. Sometimes I heard I have a soft voice and you can't hear me. So if you can't hear me, raise your hand. Okay. Before I do the announcements, I wanted to have a moment of silence and then a prayer for two of our church members. The first one is on Robbie Everhart. You're on my mind. Robbie is having surgery tomorrow. They're going to put a steel rod in his lower leg, and then they're going to do a knee replacement. If you don't know, he's been walking around for a month with a broken leg, and it's because of his knee. So Janice called me Friday, and I got him a wheelchair. You know, the Helping Hand Clinic is always there if you need something. We will help because the Lord provides. The other thing is for Violet's family. I don't know if you know that the Atkins family that was killed in a car wreck is her nephew and family, and their funerals today. And so when you have to bury one person, it's bad enough, but when you have two or three, you know, that's really, you know, tough. So let's have a moment of silence, and then Travis, if you'll lead a prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to gather here in your house this morning, Lord. And Father God, we just pray that you would rain down from heaven your Holy Spirit, Lord, on this congregation as we continue to worship you this morning. Father, we pray that you give us spiritual eyes to see, Lord, spiritual ears to hear the message you gave Brother Robbie, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, for the man of God he is, and his willingness to remain steadfast in the calling you placed on his life to serve you and make himself available to your service. Father, we pray for Robbie Everhart, Lord. We pray for the surgery tomorrow, Lord, that your healing hand that would be upon him, Lord, for you to give the surgeon and the medical team wisdom and guidance, Lord, as they perform the operation. We pray, Father, that you would grant him a speedy recovery following that. Father, we pray that you would just wrap your loving arms around the Atkins family, Lord, that you would give them your comfort, your grace, and peace, Lord, as they so desperately need it, not just today, Lord, but in the days, weeks, and months to follow, Lord. May they feel your presence ever near. And Father, continue to meet with us today, Lord. Continue to bless us, lead us, and guide us as we honor you in all that we do. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Travis. I'd like to welcome all the visitors and the regular folks to our service today. This is exciting times in Tramway. We've got a lot going on, and we need prayers, and we need teamwork, and we just need the Lord. Next week, Reverend Jacob Peterson will be here. We'll be preaching, and then at the end of the service, we will go into a special business meeting to call him to be minister. If you know of anyone that's not been coming to church because of COVID or because of uncertain times, call them and say, come to Tramway and be around God's people. Today is the COC food collection. We have a lot of food up here. We want to thank the people for doing that. First part of May, we have church cleanup day, and then Mother's Day service, and then the big thing is the spring plate sale, May 21st. Kay is on the back row. She has the dinner tickets and raffle tickets if you need any, and then there's going to be a sign-up sheet for help. It's on Friday, so if you can get off work, or if you know someone that needs tickets, that wants food, we have the best chicken and all the trimmings for that. The other thing is Relay for Life. They're not going to have it this year again, and we won't be having something out there, but the church is going to do pinwheels. So I have this nice purple form. If you want to pick that up, they're $5, and they'll be in honor or memory of someone. So this will be going for Relay for Life. And again, just remember your church, remember your church family, and everything that's going on. Thank you.
If you're interested in the pinwheels, Rachel, raise your hand. Forms go to that lady. She is graciously helping out with WMU and doing a wonderful job. Let's stand and sing the hymn At Calvary. It's 138 in your hymn book. We're going to sing first, second, and fourth verses. Standing, please.
Thank you. take is a step of faith. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Every prayer I make is a prayer of faith. And if my God is for me, who can be against me?
Last Sunday, if you were here, the message was the boat. Well, I called the perfect person to come today because he's going to tell you how to maintain your boat, upgrade your boat, or let us know if we need an ark. So, Robbie, thank you for coming today. I love you.
Seems like all around us we see trouble, we see opposition, we see problems. If you do, you're in good company, because I think the Apostle Paul knew all about that. Everywhere he went, he was faced with people opposing him, people wanting to persecute him. But yet he never gave up. He kept pressing on. And I think there's a lesson for you and I today. If there's ever a time that we as believers need to be about God's work, and we need to be filled with the Spirit, as Travis said, and allow Christ to live his life through us, that's what the Christian life's all about, folks. It's not you imitating Christ, it's Christ living through you. Apart from him, you and I can do nothing. But there is so much discouragement. I want us to look today at a verse that I think is very meaningful. We could almost say it was Paul's personal testimony. His testimony verse is in Acts chapter 20. If you'll turn to Acts chapter 20. As I mentioned, folks, if there's ever a time that you need to be willing to make Christ known, whether it's at your school, whether it's at your workplace, if it's at home, if it's with your family, now we need to let other folks know where we stand and who our Lord is. But if you'll turn to Acts chapter 20, look at verse 17. Acts 20, verse 17, Paul, the scripture writer there, says that from Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus, and he called for the elders of the church. So Paul is headed to Jerusalem. He wanted to speak to the elders of the church there at Ephesus. And look at what he says in verse 18. And it says, "And when they had come to him, he said to them, 'You know from the first day that I came to Asia, in what matter I always lived among you.'" Paul said, "Folks, you know the example that I set. You know the kind of life I've lived. You've known me. You know my manner of life." And folks, I would ask you, would people that are around you, people that you work with, people that you go to school with, could they say that about you? They know where you stand spiritually. They know because of how you've lived in front of them. I read the other day that 1 out of 100 people read the Bible, and the other 99 read Christians. They read you and I as Christians. And I trust that when people read your life, they see there's something different, that Christ is making a difference in your life. But Paul wrote to those folks and he said, "You know how I've lived. You know the example I've set." Look at what he says in verse 20, or verse 19. He says, "I've served the Lord with all humility." You know, I think there's something that can be said right there. So many times, guys, I don't know about you, sometimes I struggle with anxiety and worry, and I think that anxiety and worry comes on me when I start trying to control things that I can't control and that I was never meant to control. If we would serve the Lord, like Paul said, with all humility. Humility means that you are quick to say, "Lord, I can't, but Lord, you can." And admit your helplessness. The next time, next week, this afternoon, whenever you're faced with something that in your life, a decision to be made, a job, whatever, and if you just don't really know how I'm going to make it through this, then be sure to humble yourself before God. The only way Paul made it from the very first day of Paul's ministry, and people were trying to kill him until the last day of his ministry, when he was eventually martyred for his faith. I know that he served. He said right here, "I served the Lord with all humility. I knew I was helpless without Christ." And so be sure, folks, to admit the next time you start trying to control something in your family, at your workplace, you're trying to control somebody else, something that you just can't do, that gives birth to anxiety and worry and fear. Trust God. Trust God. We can't, like we said a moment ago, we can't, but he can. What does Paul say there in verse 19? "I serve the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials, which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews." So Paul says right there, it was tough. It was tough. There were tears. I mean, there was pain. I mean, I was face to face with death lots of times. Look at what he says in verse 20. But he says in verse 20, "But you know that I kept back nothing that was helpful, but I proclaimed it to you." Paul said, "I shared the gospel. I taught you publicly and from house to house." So Paul said, "Listen, I didn't hold back. I preached God's word to you at Ephesus, testifying," verse 21, "to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." Look at verse 22. Paul says, "And see, I go bound by the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there." You know, I like to mark in my Bible. I've got the little phrase there in verse 22, "I go" marked. And then later in the verse, I've got marked, "not knowing the things that will happen to me there." You know, folks, that's the Christian life. You're obeying God and you're going by faith, but you're not sure what's going to happen to you there. You know that you can't control things, but you go in God's strength and by God's grace. That's what Paul said. Paul says, listen, I go. I don't know what's going to happen to me there, except, verse 23, that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city. Paul's talking about going to Jerusalem. He's headed to Jerusalem, and he says, listen, the only thing, I don't know what's going to happen to me there, except the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. So Paul says that everybody that I talk to tries to talk me out of going to Jerusalem. They tell me to escape. Don't go there, Paul, because if you do, you're going to suffer great pain. But look at what Paul says in verse 24. This is kind of the verse that I want us to center on. I think this is the verse that Paul could say would be his life's testimony verse. Look at what Paul says in verse 24. He says, but none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I might finish my race with joy and I might fulfill the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Paul says there, listen, he says all the pain, all the trouble, all the heartaches you say are coming to me. Paul says that doesn't matter. He says right there, but none of these things move me. Neither do I count my life dear to myself. Folks, let's look at three little phrases within that verse. The first one I want us to look at is where Paul said, my life. He said, I don't count my life dear to myself. Paul says, I'm not living for me. Who was Paul living for? Living for Christ. What did Jesus say to his disciples? He said, he that saveth his life shall lose it. But he that loseth his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. He also went on and he said, if any man will come after me, what did he say? Let him do what? Deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. Folks, listen, something we need to realize, that our lives, the life you have, is a gift from God. It's a gift from God. What you do with your life is your gift back to Him. So many people these days are living selfishly. They're always wanting to know what's in it for me. What can I get? Instead of Travis saying, what can I give? Paul said here, I don't count my life dear to myself. Paul said, I'm not living for me. I'm living for Christ. What does the song I think we say or we sing sometimes? Only one life, so soon will pass. Only what's done, what? What does he say? For Christ will last. Folks, are you living your life? Are you living for you? Are you living, is Jesus the number one priority in your life? That's a question I want you to ask. I want us to do a little, as we talk about these three little statements, I want you, right where you are, to do a spiritual inventory and ask yourself right now, okay, what about my life? Where does Jesus rank in my life? Is he at the top? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, the Bible says. Seek Jesus first. The book of Proverbs in chapter 3, Solomon wrote, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your understanding. Don't do it your way. But in all your ways, put Jesus first. The Bible says acknowledge him. And he says, and he will make your path straight. So many of you might say, Robbie, my life is so mixed up and so confused, and there's so much turmoil, there's no peace in my heart. your life then. Ask yourself, where is Jesus? What are your priorities? Is he first place? Do you begin each day by saying, Lord, here I am. I want to yield my life to you. I want you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. I want to submit to you, Lord. When you wake up in the morning, do you roll out a bed right down on your knees and say, Lord, be the Lord of this day? And he will. And he will give you peace and contentment. My life, that's what Paul talked about here. You and I know we only have one life to live. And we don't know when the Lord might call us home. Or we don't know when the Lord might come. I firmly believe, folks, that the rapture of the church, Christ coming in the sky to call us believers up to be with him, to go to heaven, I believe it's, the Bible says it's, or the scriptures, and we as believers think it's an imminent, the imminent meaning it could happen any minute, the rapture. Jesus died for our sins. He was buried. He came back to life. He conquered the grave, sin, hell. He's alive today. You and I, folks, we serve a living Savior, not just on Easter, every day. He knows our hearts, and the Bible says one more thing, that he's coming again. And I hope that when he comes, he won't find you and he won't find me, first of all. I'm preaching to myself, number one. I'm hoping that he won't find me, Brother Travis, living selfishly and all wrapped up in myself and my pursuits and what I want to do and how I spend my time and how I spend my finances. I heard one man say that he could tell what your priorities were if he looked at your calendar and if he looked at your checkbook. Because if he looks at your calendar, he can tell how you're spending your time. And if he looks at your checkbook, he can tell how you're spending your money. Where does Jesus rank in your life? Paul said, listen, I'm not worried about pain and suffering. I'm going to Jerusalem to preach the gospel. I'm going to Jerusalem to share Christ. How about you? Look at what else he said there, folks. We'll move along here and won't take so long. He says there, none of these things move me, but I want to live to finish, or none of these things move me. I don't count my life dear to myself, so that I might finish. Look at that next phrase. He says, my race. Your Bible might say my course. So Paul, first of all, looked at his life, and he wanted to be sure he was surrendered to Christ. And secondly, he says here, he talks about his course or his race. Paul pictures what Paul's doing here. He's picturing himself as a runner. He's picturing himself as a runner, and he's on the race of life. He's on the track. Now, you and I all know that you run a race, you don't win the race by looking back. You got to keep your eyes on the goal. You got to keep your eyes on the finish line. You stay in the lane that you were assigned. God has assigned every one of us a lane, a ministry. Everybody here. First of all, I want to say this, though. You can't run the race of life unless you're a child of God. Paul said here, my life is yielded to Christ. He says right here, what does he say? He said, I'm running my race. I want to finish my race. And he said, I want to do it with joy. I don't want to do it with regrets. I don't want to do it with fears. I want to finish my race with joy. I've got a question mark written down here. What keeps us from running the race, the Christian race, the race of the Christian life as we should? First of all, we get out of training. Just like a runner that's running races, they stay in training. They exercise and watch what they eat. They try to stay in training. You and I as believers must stay in spiritual training. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 tells us, as Christians, if we want to run the race of life, we've got to lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily slows us down. You won't see a race. You turn on your TV this afternoon, and if you can find a track meet on TV, the Olympics are coming up pretty soon this summer. So you'll begin to see more and more races on TV, people trying to qualify for the Olympics this summer. You won't see people out there, women, men and women trying to run a race with a lot of clothes on, heavy clothes. You won't see them with a heavy jacket on. No, there's no, they try to take away all the weight, anything that'll slow them down. Is there anything in your life? Stop and ask yourself the question, is there anything in your life right now that is hindering you from running the Christian race? Anything in your life? Are there sins in your life that you have not confessed to God? The Bible says that if we'll confess our sins, if you'll just admit your sins, none of us are perfect. The Apostle Paul stood by before he was a Christian. He stood by and watched them murder a man that was the first martyr of the church, Stephen. Paul, he was not perfect, but he was sold out to God once he trusted Christ. He didn't hold back. He was all in for Christ. Nowadays you hear the phrases all in and just do it. Paul was all in. He gave everything he had to Christ. Ask yourself the question, what's holding you back from running the race for Christ? Young people, all of us. Running the race, hey, listen. Running the race for Christ is not just for preachers. It's not just for the choir directors and the Sunday school teachers. If you're a Christian, if you've trusted Christ and he lives in you and he's forgiven your sins, then you're a member of his family. Every Christian these days that we're living in right now need to be willing to stand up and be counted. And don't be ashamed of Christ. Because one day, folks, you don't want him ashamed of you. Amen? Amen. We don't need to do that. But I've got written down also that it is so easy for us to move Jesus from the center of our lives to the outer margins of our life. And we don't even realize it, folks. You might skip your Bible reading for a day or two, and all of a sudden you're busy and you miss church, and you miss Wednesday night prayer meeting, and you miss your private devotional time. And before you know it, it's been weeks since you spent time with Christ. Christ wants to have a close, intimate, personal relationship with you. It's not about the Christian life. Yes, we want others to see Christ in us. But before Christ can work for you, folks, he wants to work in you. And that means when you get alone with him, whenever you can. I think it's good to do it early in the morning. You might say, well, Robbie, I'm not a morning person, or my schedule won't allow that. You need time every day where you can be alone with God and let him speak to your heart. And you might sing a hymn or two, you and the Lord. You'll pray, you'll praise him, and you begin to develop that closeness. And before you know it, people around you will start realizing there's something going on inside him, because the Lord's changing you. He's changing you. Something else I want to mention, guys, too, talking about our course. God wants us to finish our course, my course. We are not in competition with each other as Christians, because all of us can win the race and be rewarded by God. God didn't call you to do what he called me to do. All of us as Christians have a calling on our lives. And once again, you're not trying to compete against me or compete against somebody else. We are in competition, I've got written down here, with ourselves. Are we in closer, if I were to ask you, are you in closer fellowship with Christ today than you were last week? Am I in closer fellowship with Christ today than I was yesterday, than I was the day before? Only you can answer that. You know your heart. God knows your heart too. Don't look back. You're running the Christian race. Good runners don't look back. They keep their eyes on the goal. They stay in their lane, the lane that they were assigned. By the way, Paul did that. So many of you know that right at the end of his life, in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul was facing death, and Paul made the statement, I have fought a good fight. I've fought a good fight. I have finished my course, and I've kept the faith. He did that. He ran, he stayed in the lane, he finished the race that God called him to. Folks, again, take an inventory of your life. Your life. My life, am I living it for me? Am I selfish? Am I all wrapped up in myself? I've heard it said before that a person wrapped up in themselves makes a small package. Your life, are you living it for Christ? Your course, the race he's assigned to you, are you running it for him? Or is there sin in your life that's holding you back? And your conscience is not clear. You can't willfully sin against God, expect to have a clear conscience and serve him and be bold for him. You can't do it. You've got to stop playing around. I speak to myself. You've got to come clean before God and offer yourself, the Bible says, as a living sacrifice to him. And he'll use you. He'll use you. But you can't do it, and there's a corner of your life over here. You've opened up all the doors of your life to Christ. Robbie, I'm yielded to Christ. But Robbie, there is one little room over here that I want to keep. There's one little room over here that I want to keep the key to. I don't want Jesus to go in that room. I don't know what it might be. Maybe you're looking at the wrong things on the internet. Maybe you're looking at the wrong things on TV. Maybe it's your language. Maybe it's, I don't know what it could be. Keeping you and holding you back from running the Christian life like you should. And being all in for Jesus. He wants Christians that are all in for him. 100% Christ. Paul said in Philippians, for me to live is who? Who, folks? For me to live is who? Christ. Paul said he's my life. Why can't he be our lives? Why can't we be sold out to Jesus like Paul was? He wants us to be. The same Holy Spirit. Listen, folks. The same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. The same Holy Spirit that lived in Paul, that empowered him to not quit, but to press on, to face death head on. That same Holy Spirit lives where, Travis? Inside of you and me. The same Holy Spirit. He can do today for you what he did years ago in the lives of other people. You've just got to yield to Christ. Like we said earlier, admit your helplessness. Lord, I can't do this. Lord, you know me. I've got bad habits. I've got, Lord, I'm not a good Christian. I need you, Lord, to shape me like a potter shapes the clay. Lord, I need you to remake me. Admit your helplessness to him. That's what he wants. And he can use you, he can change you, he'll work in you and he'll work through you, he'll make a difference in your life. Ask yourself the question, folks, and I ask myself the same thing. Is my life making a difference for Christ? I can't go back and relive yesterday. I don't know about tomorrow if I'll even be here. Right now, is my life making a difference for him? Am I just going through the motions? Is Christianity, I'm here at church, but what about tomorrow at work? What about this afternoon later on? Is Christ going to be the Lord of my life tomorrow at work? When I get up tomorrow morning, am I going to have personal devotions? Or am I going to have them tonight? Am I going to make time to meet Christ and spend time with him? Let me mention one more thing. Paul said here, none of these things move me. I don't count my life dear to myself, so that I might finish my race with joy. And then the next phrase there is, and the ministry, or my ministry, which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify. Paul said, my ministry that I received from the Lord was to testify, look at that last phrase, to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. Paul said, listen, God gave me the ministry. He wants me to share the gospel of his grace. Each of us as Christians has a ministry to fulfill. Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, Timothy, make full proof of your ministry. Or literally, he said, Timothy, fulfill your ministry, accomplish in your work the things that God's called you to do. God has given you and I a ministry, a way we can serve him. Each of us has a special ministry from the Lord, a ministry no one can do for us. Paul's ministry centered on sharing the gospel of the grace of God. All of us know what grace is. It's God doing for us what we can't do for ourselves. The Bible says it's God's unmerited favor. You're saved not because of anything you've done. If you're a Christian here today, it wasn't because of anything you did. It wasn't because you sang in the choir, taught Sunday school, gave money. It wasn't because of any of that. You were saved. If you're saved here today, you were saved by the grace of God. God loved you before you ever loved him. He laid his life down for you on that cross 2,000 years ago. You should have been hanging on the cross. It was your sins, yet he took your sins on himself. He was your substitute, a substitute, somebody that comes and takes your place. He was your substitute. He was your sacrifice and mine. In exchange, he took my sin, and in exchange, folks, he gave me his righteousness, and he gave you his righteousness. So it blows my mind. Christ would love us that much. There's nothing really lovable about me. I fail God all the time, but I'm so thankful that it's because of his grace. You and I cannot earn God's grace. Paul was a great ambassador for the grace of God. Hey, folks, let me tell you something. Be sure in whatever you do, whatever you do. Paul said right here that his ministry was to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Be sure, folks, to magnify the grace of God. Whatever you do, don't take credit for it. You want people to see Jesus in you, not you doing good things, because you can't save anybody. I can't save anybody. Jesus Christ can save everyone that will come to him. Be sure to magnify the grace of God. So many people think, hey, listen, if you went to town today, you went over to the restaurant or whatever, and you started asking people about going to heaven, most of the people that you talk to would say they think heaven is for people who have lived a good life. They think heaven is for people, Pastor Yandel, that's done more good than they've done bad. They think that you go to heaven by doing good works and being involved religiously. You go to church, if you'll come sing in the choir, if you'll come to church, go to Sunday school, you're going to go to heaven. What about that? We know that's not the way. The Bible, Jesus said in John 14, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. What did he say? No man comes to the Father except how? Through me. You don't go to heaven the way people think you do. So many think you do. That's the reason I tell you, you need to magnify the grace of God. You need to tell people, boy, I thank God for all he's done for me. I mean, somebody comes up to you tomorrow and says, boy, have a good day at work now. And you can let him know, sir, I'm going to have a good day because God's good to me. I'm going to have a good day. Just anytime, any way you can mention Christ. Ask him to fill you with his spirit and then ask the Lord to open doors for you to share his word. Ask God to open hearts for you to be receptive to his word. Magnify the grace of God, because there's so many people, I'm afraid, that are going to end up not in heaven. They're going to end up in hell because they thought they could do it on their own. And you can't do it on your own. If you can, the Bible's a lie. And you and I know that the Bible's not a lie. So to wrap it up, Paul could face the difficulties of his life. Paul could go through such tough times. He was beaten. He was shipwrecked. He went through difficult times that would have made any man quit. But he was living, his life was his, think about those three short phrases. Paul would say, my life is a gift from God. I'm going to live it for him. Paul would say, my course, I'm a runner. I'm going to finish the race for him. And then he would say, my ministry, that little phrase, is the grace of God. I'm going to share God's grace. I'm going to tell people about how unworthy I am and how good he is. Amen? God is good. He's good all the time. He's good all the time. So, again, it would not hurt every one of us, myself first of all, to begin every day by asking yourself those questions and take that short inventory. Take that short inventory of your life every morning, Jim. My life, am I living for Jesus? Is he first? My course, am I running it for Christ? Or is sin holding me back? And my ministry, am I trying to draw attention to myself? Or am I magnifying the grace of God? Am I sharing God's grace and his goodness? Folks, if there's anybody here, anyone here, and you're not sure about your relationship to Christ, we're going to sing a hymn in a minute, and Mr. Travis is going to be down front here. Don't hesitate to come down. If you have any doubts in your mind about your relationship to Christ, if you're not positive, if you're not sure that you've trusted Christ, then you come down, walk down the front, or you can do business right where you are right there in your seat. You bow your head and just let the Lord know, Lord, I'm a sinner. I know I've sinned and fallen short. And Lord, I know you'll forgive my sins if I'll only admit them. And Lord, I ask you to forgive my sins. What is John 3:16? For God so loved this world, that's you and me, that he gave his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross, so that whoever, that's you and me again, if I would trust him, if you would trust him, we can have eternal life. It's not about working. It's not about what you can do for God. When Jesus died on the cross, he said, the last thing he said was, "It is finished." He did everything that was needed to be done to give you salvation. Think about it like this. Salvation is like a free gift. You know, Christmas time, we wrap gifts, lay them under a tree. Salvation is like a free gift that somebody, that Jesus wants to give you. But you, first of all, you got to receive it. If you're going to offer me a gift, I've got to take it. And then I open it up and I receive it. That's what our salvation is about. It's a free gift from God. Jesus paid it all. What does the song say, Miss Sherry, we sing? All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. Jesus washed it as white as snow. So be sure, folks, that your heart is right with God. One day, folks, the Bible says that we're going to give an account for every word we've heard. And you might say, "Well, Robbie, I wish I'd have known that. I wasn't going to come." But you've already heard. You've already heard. You've heard about Jesus Christ. You've heard about his grace. You've heard that he loves you. You've heard that he's offering you a free gift of eternal life and forgiveness of your sins. It's too late. Jesus don't want to send anybody to hell, but some people, by rejecting him, choose to go there themselves. So, Mr. Travis, will you come down front and we'll finish out the service here. I thank you, brother.